Simone, good morning.
Good morning.
First, I really enjoyed reading your book, but I felt like I shouldn't because it's written for teenagers. Why do you think adults can relate to it?
Well, I think that because adults were teenagers once, and I don't think that you lose this stuff, your concerns that you have as a teenager, you'd still carry them through to your adult years. I guess they get kind of swamped in things like mortgages and taxes and other things, but I think there's still sort of these issues of identity and finding your place in your world. I don't think that stuff ever goes away.
I want to delve into a little deeper into your background a bit later on, but briefly, you've won awards for your short film Pity 24.
Yep.
And you won last year's Victorian Premier's Literary Award for Notes from a Teenage Underground. Why do you think you gravitate towards those subject issues that really are identified with teenagers?
I kind of often ask myself this question. I'm not sure. Whenever I write a character, it usually happens to be a teenager. I think I'm just drawn to that voice, and I find it quite natural to write in that voice. It seems more normal for me to write about a 15-year-old than a 36-year-old, and it could possibly be because I haven't grown up yet,
I don't think you're the lone ranger there at all.
Yeah.
Do you think, is it difficult for you to go back to that time in your life?
No, not at all. I mean, it's funny because I don't really remember specifics, but I can remember the emotions. And whenever I'm writing, I think that's the stuff that comes through, and that's probably the stuff that's why it seems to work, because the emotions are kind of, they do feel quite raw.
I am tempted to get you to give a synopsis of the book, but I'm going to give it a go myself.
Okay.
The lead character is Riley Rose, who is sent to a Christian holiday camp, and that's really her dad's girlfriend's idea, who's Norma.
Yep.
Her dad goes along with it, but it's basically Norma's idea. And I guess the idea behind sending her there is that it's going to straighten her out because she's sort of been in a bit of trouble with the law.
Yep.
And she spends most of the camp trying to get away, but I got the sense that she doesn't really want to leave.
No. And she's kind of discovering herself while she's there.
Yes, and the reader is then taken on a journey from that adolescence to adulthood.
Absolutely, and it all happens in 7 days.
Yes, that was another thing that I really like about this book. There is the descriptive parts of it, but there's also the story is not lost in those descriptive parts. Is that a difficult balance for you to get?
I'm just always very wary of it, I think. This is funny, this book was quite easy for me to write, which is unusual, and I think it was because I sort of thought about it for a really long time before I actually sat down and wrote it. And then once I knew that everything was going to happen in 7 days, I just sort of had to think, well, you know, what's the logic here? And once you sort of know your logic, then it kind of falls a little bit easier.
Why did you choose to set it in a Christian holiday camp?
Oh, well, that was kind of a little bit of background, because I'd been to a few of those when I was a teenager. One of my own volition, and a couple that I was sent to, just not for bad behaviour particularly, but probably more that my parents didn't know what else to do with me and thought I might enjoy it. And they were always sort of never what you expected them to be.
Did you get up to some of the things that we see Riley get up to?
Well, no, I was a bit younger, so not quite, but I probably had aspirations of bad behaviour, I guess. And also, I think the idea of corrupting people, I really liked that idea when I was a teenager. I sort of thought, you know, I'll go here and there will be squares and I'll sort them out.
Yes, who didn't love corrupting the Year 8s when you're in?
It's kind of your first power trip, I think.
That's right. When I was growing up, I remember a number of books that really featured these perfect and pretty lead characters. Riley is not part of that mould. When you first set out, was it important to you that it wasn't one of these perfect characters?
Oh, absolutely. I just have no interest in writing perfect characters unless they're really deeply flawed and we can kind of pick that out, which, I mean, they probably are because I think no one is perfect. I really kind of wanted to have a character who starts off quite unsympathetic but you actually kind of grow with her and like her by the end. So someone who seems sort of irredeemable, but then, you know, actually, no one's irredeemable. Well, you would hope that no one was irredeemable.
Well, the book's very frank about teenage drinking, drug use and sex. What sort of reactions do you get when you write about that?
Oh, look, it just really depends on the person. But I do get a bit of knee-jerk reactions straight away where people sort of think, oh, well, that's all it's about, or that I'm somehow kind of trying to be scandalous. But for me, it all just comes from character. And if that's what the character does, then that's what the character does. And if that's how she kind of has her journey, then that is what's going to happen. I wouldn't write an issues-based book, but if the character has these issues, then they're going to come up. You know?
Is that the way you think that, I mean, this is happening in teenage culture, these sorts of things? Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, not for everybody, but for a lot of people there are. And I don't think it hurts to have literature out there that kids can relate to, that is told in a way that's not kind of some grandma kind of pretending to be hip or that sort of thing.
And you would know what the teenagers think about it because you do a lot of work in schools. What do they tell you?
Well, I've just had such lovely letters from readers and readers that I meet, mostly just that they fall in love with characters and they relate to the characters and they sort of don't want the stories to end in a way, which is lovely. So I think it's just the reality thing and the characters feel real to them.
It's a book I want to read again because it didn't take long for a start.
Yeah, no, it's kind of swift.
It's good though. I think sometimes, I don't know if authors do it, but they set out, you know, this is going to be a 500-page novel or a 5,000-page novel and by hook or by crook I'm going to get there, and somewhere in there the story gets lost.
Yeah, no, look, I'm the opposite. I like a slim book.
Yeah.
If I can do it, and just to kind of keep things manageable, and usually what happens is the first draft will be even smaller than that and then I'll kind of find the areas that I want to sort of develop a bit more.
Have you worked in journalism?
I have. I know, it's the opposite, isn't it?
Well, you certainly get told when you work in journalism to trim things down.
Yeah. Well, I think the first stuff that I did write was very spare, and I don't feel like I pad things out, but certainly like the first novel, Notes from Teenage Underground, when that was a 40,000-word book, and then it became a 60,000-word book sort of over a month of me kind of fleshing things out a bit more. And that was more of an editorial decision. That wouldn't have been up to me.
So that's when you go to your publisher and they say, we need you to expand on this part here.
Yeah, they go, what does she look like? What's she thinking? That's what I say. Well, can't you work that out? And I guess if you can't, you can't.
Yeah.
It's interesting because the second novel, I think part of the reason it was easier was because I had this sort of expectation in my mind of the things that, you know, I was sort of almost preempting the editor. Yeah.
When you conduct writing workshops at schools, what sorts of things are you teaching them?
Oh, mostly just about how they can find stories in everyday life.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I kind of call it story scavenging.
Yeah.
Just sort of how you walk down the street and there's a million things that a story could be made out of, and that the cities and countries, that they're full of unwritten stories, and it's the writer's job to kind of pull out the stories. And so I guess I get them to think like writers and to keep journals and to respond to whatever they're into. Like, you know, if they're into a particular band or film or, you know, actor, then I, you know, would encourage them to try and use that as a starting point. And it's quite hard because, I mean, the thing with writing is that it does take a long time. I like to sort of think that I can kind of get them thinking like that, then they can go and take it wherever they want to.
So you've obviously done very well in film and also as an author. What is there one that you have a greater passion for?
I think I prefer books because there's less collaboration, so it's more your own baby. But with film, I haven't really flexed my muscles there yet, and I do want to try, but it's more of a time thing. I'm working on a script of Notes from the Teenage Underground at the moment. I've been on and off working on that for quite a while.
And have you got backing for that?
I've got a nebulous contract in the works thing happening.
Great. What was PD24 about?
PD24 was about a group of teenagers from outer suburban Ringwood. Their best friend has died in this sort of spectacular car crash. And they're basically talking about his life, you know, 6 months after the wake.
Mm.
And it's done sort of like a mock documentary, although it's quite a serious sort of film. So they're all telling stories about this character who doesn't exist.
Does that come from a personal experience?
Sort of. Bits and stuff.
Yeah.
I did grow up in Ringwood, so it's part of that experience of living somewhere that's a bit further away from you, where you think you want to be. And also the idea of having a group of friends who become like your family, because I think for a lot of teenagers, I know for me, I felt quite alienated from my actual family, but my friends became my family.
You did feel alienated from your family, did you?
Yeah.
I've noticed in the page of the book for my parents, who let me ask all the questions. So you've repaired.
Oh, yeah. I think I was just a difficult teenager, and I think, you know, they kind of had to say, well, sort yourself out a little bit. And a lot of that was me turning my back on them and saying, no, I don't want to hang around with you guys, I want to hang out with my friend, which, you know, happens a lot.
Have your parents said anything about those teenage years to you now?
Oh, well, no. I mean, every now and then we kind of talk about it and I'm just full of shame.
Oh.
Full of shame and apologise constantly. You know, I just kind of think back and think, my God, I was difficult.
Well, you know what to expect with your own kids, I suppose.
Yeah.
Most of your attention, I suppose, at the moment would be focused on getting Notes from a Teenage Underground made into a film, or are you working on some other projects as well?
I'm working on another novel as well, which is another young adult novel, which is more of a crime kind of thing.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, which is lots of fun.
When do you reckon that one would be?
Quite a while.
Yeah.
Okay. At least a year.
Good. Well, look, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to put a review of it up on our website.
Oh, so fantastic.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Simone Howe.
Thanks, Narelle.